It's great, isn't it, to be able to sing about the wondrous love of Jesus. How do you begin to comprehend the height and the depth, the length and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ? How do you go about saying, I love you, to someone? In our day and age, you have probably heard about some very creative marriage proposals. My son was pretty creative when he proposed to his fiance Jessica. He used my two grandsons, his nephews. One of the grandsons had a t-shirt that said, will you? And he came in first, and then he was followed by the second twin, and the t-shirt said, marry me. So that was quite a creative proposal. This was done at Christmas time with the family. Now, my proposal to my wife was not so creative. I suppose I made my proposal a lot like I preach, in a very plain spoken way. And so I took Bonnie out on a walk in a park in Rotterdam, Holland, and I asked her to marry me. And she said, I'll think about it. There wasn't any hoopering and hollering, but I guarantee you before we left that park that evening, she had agreed to marry me. Well, there are many ways that we can say, I love you to people. But, you know, the crucial question is, and the one I'd like to explore this evening, is how do you say, I love you to God? How do we demonstrate our love toward God? God is love, John states. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he also adds that God first loved us. And so you see, all of our human love ultimately comes from God. And it should be understood when we speak about God's love, when we speak about Bible love or Christian love, that's the love that is self-sacrificing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we could easily say that God's love is the original, and any love that we have is a copy of that love. Now, if we know that God loves us, and we should, but if we know that God loves us, we can love ourselves. We can love others as we love ourselves, and we should be able to love God back. We should be able to demonstrate our love to God. And so that's what I'd like to explore this evening. How do you tell God that you love Him? How do you demonstrate your love toward God? If you'd open the New Testament to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, I'd like to read a text. The first way that we demonstrate our love toward God or tell God that we love Him is with a gift from the heart. A gift from the heart. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary therefore took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Jesus therefore said, "Let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Now this story begins 6 days before the Passover feast of the Jews. And it should be mentioned that Matthew and Mark both record the same account. And so these events take place in the last week of Jesus' life. Now what would you do with the final week of your life? This is the last week of the life of our Savior. Jesus had left Galilee one final time, and he headed toward Jerusalem. I know it's somewhat of an oversimplification, but we could say the country boy left. to go to the big city, because the thinking in Jerusalem was completely different from the thinking in Galilee. It was a very dangerous trip because his enemies wanted desperately to kill him. And Jesus knew that he was going to Jerusalem to die, to be hung on a cross. Well, Jesus came to Bethany, and that was the hometown of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he was attending a supper that had been organized, that was given in his honor. And Martha was serving. Now, in Luke chapter 10, we might remember that Mary would rather do nothing but sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and listen to him. But Martha apparently was the one who was busy serving once again. But you know, the most remarkable thing that had occurred in Bethany was that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He'd been 4 days in the tomb, beginning to decompose, and Jesus raised him from the dead. However, everyone at the dinner, at that supper, probably had some story to tell about how Jesus had changed his life, or how Jesus had changed her life. Matthew and Mark mentioned that Simon the leper was at that supper. So how many formerly blind and sick and lame friends had come to honor Jesus for the gift that he had bestowed upon them? Imagine the guest list at this supper. And you know, that leads me to think, shouldn't we feel driven to attend the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week in the honor of Jesus Christ? I'm a redeemed sinner, and I'm on the guest list each and every Sunday. Jesus took my burdens away, and he saved me. And the least I could do is to be here every Sunday, meeting at the table, remembering what he has done for me. Well, sometime during the dinner, during the supper, Mary came to Jesus. Now, it seems that Mary was the more emotional of the two sisters. Now, when you have a few sisters, sisters are different. And it just seems that Mary was the more emotional sister. Who was Jesus to this Mary? Well, Jesus was a good friend. And Jesus was an amazing teacher. As I mentioned, if she had a choice, she would sit at his feet all the time and just listen to what he had to teach. Jesus was also a marvelous healer because he had turned her deepest pain and Martha's deepest pain into the greatest joy when he had raised Lazarus from the dead. But most importantly to Mary, Jesus was Lord and Christ. You know, you think about Mary, she just can't put her feelings into words, and so she has to show her Savior how much that she loves him. And so we notice that Mary anointed her Savior. If you look back at verse 3, once again, Mary therefore took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Nard, or spikenard, as it is called here, was a very expensive perfume, a very expensive ointment. It was imported all the way from India. In fact, it could easily be said that nard was the most expensive ointment or perfume in the time. Matthew and Mark mentioned that this nard was sealed in a jar made from alabaster. Alabaster is a very finely worked material that looks a lot like clear marble. And in order to use the perfume, the neck of that jar had to be broken. And then once you broke the neck of the jar, you had to use all of it because it would usually spoil. Well, John records that this jar contained about 12 ounces of nard. So what did Mary do with this most expensive perfume of the day? She pours it on the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, normally, in order to use something like nard, you'd wait for a very special occasion, and then you'd anoint the heads of several guests that attended that occasion. But not Mary. She pours this nard on the feet of Jesus, and then she wipes his feet with her hair. And you can imagine that fragrance has filled the entire house where everyone has gathered. Now, the question that we could raise is, what made this gift so special? It obviously was very special, but what made the gift of Mary so special? Well, first of all, it was very extravagant. Now, we notice that Judas, among others, objected to what Mary had done. They complained. They murmured against her. And Judas said, why could this perfume not have been sold for 300 denarii and then used to feed the poor? You see, 300 denarii was nearly a year's wages. And so Mary pours nearly a year's wages on the feet of Jesus Christ. And so such a lavish gift made no sense to Judas because he just didn't think like that. His heart was cold. He was greedy. He was covetous. Secondly, that gift was very special because Mary gave it without thinking about herself. It was a gift without any thought of herself. I say that because, sometimes when we give gifts, we might be tempted to think more about ourselves than about the person that's going to receive the gift. We might think something like, is that person going to like it? And what are they going to think of me when I give them this gift? But you know, everything about Mary indicates that she wasn't concerned about that. She was concerned only for Jesus Christ. In fact, Mary shows how little she is concerned about herself by letting her hair down. And Jewish women normally didn't do that in public. They just didn't let their hair down, but she does. She is so unconcerned about herself. The only thing that matters to her is Jesus Christ, Christ the teacher. Thirdly, Mary's gift was special because it was a gift, we could say, wrapped in humility. It was a gift wrapped in humbleness. And Mary anointed Jesus' feet, and then she didn't use a towel to wipe them off. She used her hair to dry the feet of Jesus Christ. And the fourth point about that, the fourth thing that made Mary's gift so special is that her heart was the real gift. Not the nard, but she was giving Jesus Christ her heart. So how do we demonstrate our love for God? We give a gift from the heart. And secondly, we can use some gift ideas from the Bible. And I'd like to share a few of those with you right now. The Bible is just full of wonderful gift ideas. First of all, just like Mary, we can give our hearts to God as well. The greatest commandment, according to Jesus, was what? It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What is meant by this, you love God with everything. Everything that you have. And how can you possibly explain that? I know many of you here, like in Jay, Oklahoma, in our congregation, have ministered to loved ones that have had serious illnesses, sometimes life-threatening illnesses, and sometimes terminal illnesses. And to do that, you have to be a very special person. You have to give everything that you have to that person. Perhaps you have helped care for a loved one that has Alzheimer's or dementia. Once again, you have to give everything that you have to help care for that person. There was a family doctor who got all choked up when a husband told him about his labor of love for his wife. She was suffering the symptoms of Alzheimer's, and the doctor said, such a love, such a love. And then he said, I wish I loved God like that. I wish I loved God like that, desperate to be near him at all times, giving him everything that I have. A second gift idea from the Bible is, we can say I love you. We can say I love you to God by talking to him, by praying to him often. You know, the Psalms is a wonderful book. These are actually prayers, and they teach us how to express our heart to God. Some examples. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee. Oh God, what a wonderful thing to say to the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say, continually the Lord be magnified. And Psalm 30, verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. You know, sometimes simply saying, I love you, is the best gift that we can give to someone else. When I'm doing wedding ceremonies, I remind the bride and the groom to say that often. to one another. You know, words like that let another person know you're the centerpiece of my life. I love you and I appreciate you. And so in the same way, we let God know by our prayers when he talked to him that he is the centerpiece of our life. We love him and appreciate him. Thirdly, we can demonstrate our love for God by loving others. We demonstrate our love for God by loving others. This idea was actually introduced in the Old Testament. It was quoted by Jesus as the second greatest commandment. Do you know what it is? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. John the Apostle also referred to this idea in a, we could say, a negative sense in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, where John writes, if someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know, one way that one way that a husband can say I love you to his wife is to love their children. Well, just as a husband can say I love you to his wife by loving her children, you can say I love you to God by loving God's children and by loving your neighbor. Fourthly, we can express our love for God by speaking to others about him. When you're in love with someone, you talk about him quite a bit, don't you? Some people might get tired of hearing about the person that you love. Well, this is called, in the scriptures, this is called confessing Christ before men. Jesus said, in fact, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Now, this is also called sharing the gospel. We talk about that. Share the gospel. Speak the gospel to someone else. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 14, for the love of God constraineth us. The love of God controls us. And he says, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And what's the purpose of an ambassador? What does an ambassador do? Represents the Lord. Fifthly, you know, perhaps the most difficult way to say I love you to God is to simply obey him, to do something for him. I remember the cartoon I saw years ago about a boy in elementary school following his sweetheart home, and he said, you know, I would die for you. I would go around the world for you. I would do absolutely anything for you. And she said, would you mind carrying these books? They're kind of heavy. And he said, well, I'm not interested in doing something like that. Sometimes we just omit the most simple task. Well, John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So are we saying, Lord, I love you so much, but don't ask me to carry your commandments. Don't ask me to keep your commandments. You know, sometimes this is exactly what people don't want to hear. They say, I love God. Or they say, what can I do for God? And you say, simply obey him. Do what he says. And they think, or they say, well, what else can we do? People, in many cases, don't want to hear that you have to obey God to love him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, to love your parents or to love a husband or love a wife or love your children involves more than just speaking to them. That's important, but it involves more than saying, I love you. How do we demonstrate our love for God? The third point I want to make this evening and my last point is by loving and honoring the gift that God gave us. That's how we say I love you to God, by honoring the gift that he has given us. After Mary had anointed Jesus' feet, and after he had left the supper held in his honor, he was headed toward Jerusalem. He knew where he was going, and he knew what he was doing. He realized that this was his last trip to Jerusalem, because his enemies wanted him dead. Well, after Mary had anointed Jesus Christ, had anointed his feet, and after some of his, my dad always talked about belly aching, after some of the disciples were complaining, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her alone." And then he goes on to say, "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burying." So Jesus knew that the end was near for him. Now earlier Jesus had stated, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." And so with love for you and love for me in his heart, Jesus left Bethany and he was preparing to give the greatest gift that has ever been given mankind. You know, we ought to love God. We ought to love Jesus Christ for the gift of salvation that he has given us. Well, let me say in closing that in many ways, but especially in the death of Jesus Christ and his burial and his resurrection, he is saying, "I love you," to you and to me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." What a marvelous, marvelous passage. Now, the question is, do you love God? Do you love God? And if you do, how are you communicating? How are you demonstrating your love toward God? Why not express it? If you're not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel, why not do what Christ has asked you to do? Turn from your sin, repent, and be baptized. And if you are a Christian and you've wandered away from the Lord, such a great picture of the Father just waiting for his son to return in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. If you've turned away from the Lord, why not return? Return to the faith that you once had and that you've drifted from, and demonstrate your love for God once again. I don't know, perhaps we have someone ready to say, "I love you," to God this evening, this afternoon, by obeying the gospel or coming back to the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation, I would invite you, if you're not a Christian, to believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the Christ to have those sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. And if you are a Christian and you've drifted from your love of God, why not come back to him this evening? If you're subject to the invitation, I would invite you to stand up and come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.